Blog Talk Radio.
There's a book out there called The Spirit of America Party. I think it has 14 chapters. Chapter 1, every chapter has a song. When you get to the chapter on 911, it has three songs. But chapter 1 has one song, and chapter 1 was the most important chapter in the book to me. Welcome to The Spirit of America Party. And chapter 1 has two words. Drugs suck. And beginning that chapter is a picture of a Marine saluting the flag with one arm. And the song, every chapter has a song. And for chapter 1, the song that you just heard is the song I picked for that chapter. Because it's hip to be square. You may be in a crowd and everybody's doing the wrong thing and you're not comfortable. and somebody says, why don't you take a taste of this? This will light up your life. And you say, no, nah, it's not for me. And everybody looks at you like you got two heads. And what's wrong with you? What's your problem? But somebody in that crowd is rooting for you but doesn't have the guts to say it. And that's the soul you're saving by your good example. I just thought I'd pass that on to you. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. There is a guy whose name is Don Feder, and he's a pro-American writer. I don't believe in right-wing and left-wing. I hear the wimps and the wusses saying, oh, yes, well, there is an extreme left-wing, but there's also an extreme right-wing. There's no such thing as an extreme right-wing. There's only two classes of people in this country, Americans and those who hate them. So don't talk to me about wings, because I come from the mainstream American group. And if you notice, when they knock the Tea Party, you know, the Tea Party is the only one that doesn't follow orders from a titular head. You know that, right? When the Democamos, which used to be the Democrats and now the Communist Party, when the orders come down, all the little lemmings have to stand in line and support the party head. And the Republicans, they try to do the same thing, but the Tea Party members bust the chops of the rhinos. The rhinos today are the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party of today is the Communist Party. So you have the Communist Party, and then you have the Rhino Party, which is the new Democrat Party. And then you'll have this group that tells you they're independent. Yeah, they're independent. You know what that is? You know what an independent is? That's a guy that's ashamed to be a Democamo. He can't face it anymore. He knows they're evil, but he's still rooting for them. So he sneaks off to the independent party. Who did that? Joe Liebowitz. You know Joe Liebowitz? Everybody likes Joe Liebowitz. The Republicans like him. The Democrats like him. And he went independent because the Democrats didn't like him that much. But he voted to burn the flag, and he votes to kill kids, and he tells everybody he's a deeply religious Jewish person. Yeah. Oh, well, someday you're going to meet the big banger, and he's not going to buy that. What? You're one of my chosen people? Did I choose you to kill kids? Did I choose you to burn your flag? Straight to hell. Join Ted Kennedy in boiler number 3. You can fool some of the people some at a time and all of the people some at a time. But you can't fool the big banger. So I'm going to read you from Don Feder, because Don Feder is the only patriot that's out there tonight that is remembering Pearl Harbor. Why should you remember Pearl Harbor? What is your version of Pearl Harbor? You stubbed your toe? Huh? What happened? You fell out of the Cadillac? Yeah. Unbelievable, man. No salt? No salt on the table? Mayor Bloomberg took it away? You're under house arrest? You went over 16 ounces? So here's what Don Feder says. This will not be your typical Pearl Harbor Day commentary from a conservative. Eternal vigilance as the price of liberty. Munich, look where appeasement gets you and all of that. What's really remarkable about December 7th, 1941, and tomorrow is a holy day of obligation, December the 8th, the day after Sunday, December the 8th, I got out of going to church twice because the holy day of obligation falls on a Sunday. My wife is very disappointed. I'll tell you a quick story. When I first met my wife, were we going out, or were we just married? I think we were just married, and we went to somebody's wedding, and it was a Saturday. So I'm meeting her relatives for the first time. And the wedding is over. They had a full mass, a full Catholic mass, and we all come out, and man, I'm thirsty, you know? I say, oh, let's go to a bar and have a couple of drinks. And they say, oh, no, we have to go to church. I says, what was that when we were just in? He says, oh, no, that's a wedding. We got to go to church now for Sunday. So I had to go to church for Sunday. Unbelievable, right? So the bartender lost a tip. What can I say? Let's go back to Don Fetter. But I never forgot that. And they never forgot that I was in total shock. I went into withdrawal. What's really remarkable about December the 7th, 1941, and thank you, Don, for this wake-up call, isn't that what we got sucker-punched by the Empire of Japan, but how rapidly we recovered and why? Coming out of the worst depression in the world history, he says in our history, in 1940, unemployment was still 17%. We fought a global war on two fronts against the world's strongest military powers, fueled by fanaticism and plotting war for almost a decade, and won, becoming the dominant power on the planet in the process. And we did it all in 3 years and 8 months after Pearl Harbor. You think about that. We were on four continents kicking ass in 3 years and 8 months after we were knocked down to our knees. I got a speech from Patton that says it won't happen, that we won't be that lucky next time. So here's what Don says. It's all the more remarkable when you consider how far we came in that time. And listen to the stats. You got to listen to the stats. In June of 1940, the U.S. Army Air Corps had 51,000 pilots. The Royal Air Force in England had 500,000 pilots. The Luftwaffe had 1 million. In 1940, the U.S. Army was ranked the 18th in the world, not just behind Germany, France, Russia, Britain, Italy, and Japan, but also inferior to that of Spain, Portugal, Sweden, Switzerland, and the Netherlands. We could have beaten Liechtenstein with one hand tied behind its back. Now, he said that, right? Now, somebody mentioned, you know, Bush killed a lot of people in Iraq, but Bush lost to 4,700 in Iraq. And every one of those that died was on the front page and on the NBC every night. And the following morning, after one casualty, seven microphones went into a mother's face, and the reporter would say, how does it feel now that your son died under George Bush? But Obama has lost, he's about 2,300 right now, okay? He's lost 2,300 in Afghanistan, and not a word, not a mention. You know what? They don't even call them American troops. They call them NATO troops. That's how much the press lies for the liar. For the jumbo liar. Yep. Isn't that sad? And you know how many Bush lost in Afghanistan? 461 in 8 years. And we haven't even done the run out yet. And when somebody said, well, he lost 4,700 in Iraq, you know what one guy said? Yeah, and Iraq had the fourth largest army in the world. Every month, thousands of aircraft, tanks, and artillery pieces. By the end of World War II, we had 16 million men in arms. 16 million is a lot, huh? Every month, thousands of aircraft, tanks, and artillery pieces were rolling off assembly lines, as well as hundreds of thousands of weapons and millions of rounds of ammunition. And in one day, we made more rifles. We made more rifles than Japan made in a year, and all those rifles are still here. And they got a sign on them. It says, "Do not make me use this." Yeah. What accounts for our incredible recovery after the devastating blow at Pearl Harbor? How did we go on to win the Battle of Midway exactly 6 months later? Why did Americans rush to enlist? And why did the storms stop on D-Day? Why did the sun come out on D-Day for one day? How did we manage to intercept the Japanese codes and stop them at the Battle of Midway? You think maybe God was on our side? The God that we threw out, that the Democrat Party threw off the platform? 3 times they voted to get rid of God, and 3 times they succeeded. Then they lied to the American people. This is the party of lies. They said, no, we voted to keep God. But they lied. They lied. Newspaper headlines the day after the attack spoke of young men flocking to recruiting offices and the services, swamped by applications to enlist. And I remember finding an article on 8 guys from one town who were rejected when they went for their physicals, and they all committed suicide in an American town. You think about that. What did we have then that we don't have now? Americans of today had their Pearl Harbor 12 years ago with almost the same number of dead. It's around 3,000. Well, they count 2,800, but they don't count the 200 pro-life babies that died with their pro-life mothers. That makes it 3,000. And throughout the country, I think it was like 32, 45 when you count the guys in Pentagon and planes and so forth. We responded by half-heartedly fighting futile wars, which we announced in advance we didn't intend to win. In 1942, did Douglas MacArthur set a timetable for withdrawal from the Pacific? We had doggedly refused to identify the enemy. Imagine Churchill announcing in 1940 that Nazism was an ideology of brotherhood and tolerance. And my friends, you know, the only difference between a Nazi and a communist is the uniform and the symbol and the language. Under Bush the Younger, we fought a war on terror while embracing its Middle Eastern roots. Terror is a method anyway, not an ideology. Even that's been downgraded. Today we deal with man-caused disasters through overseas contingency operations. In the meantime, we twice elected an anti-American who spits on our traditions, tramples the Constitution, apologizes for our greatness, and facilitates our enemy's rise to power. Obama is still smarting from the overthrow of the Muslim Brotherhood government in Egypt. And if you got my show the other night, I'm campaigning for double the salary of the military. Every private, corporal, sergeant, up to the officer corps needs to have his salary doubled tomorrow. For Christmas, it'd be a nice present. And we can pay for it by drilling oil. In 1941, Americans were a proud, confident, and resilient people. We took responsibility for our actions. We looked out for each other. Church attendance was high. Kids actually learned in school. In his book, December 1941, 31 Days That Changed America and Saved the World, Craig Shirley wrote that in the 40s, a high school diploma was a hard-earned document, and those young Americans who received a diploma had language skills, writing skills, citizenship skills, geology, biology, physics, Latin, Greek, and an expansive list of books to read. In the early 80s, John Silber, then president of Boston University, said, "A high school diploma signified that someone had been institutionalized for 4 years and nothing more." Shirley also observed, "Chivalry and good manners reigned in American culture in 1941. Men held doors for ladies, Ladies acted like ladies. Men and women abided by the rules of courtship and life. It was the American way. The American way. Think about that. The American way. Today, wherever you look, it's decay. We've gone from rearmament in 1941 to moral disarmament as the current order of the day. In November, a 14-year-old Danvers, Massachusetts student was indicted for the rape and murder of his math teacher, reportedly using a box cutter. According to the Department of Education, in the 2009 and 2010 school year, there were 1,183,700 violent crimes in America's citadels of scholarship, including murders, rapes, robberies, and aggravated assault with and without a weapon. And let me add to that, date rape. When the women were getting raped, the professors changed it to date rape. She had it coming. Yep. Girls, you're in trouble. You're selling yourselves out, too. Really sad. Really sad. And, you know, they all went after the Catholic Church for the homosexual scandal. But you never hear them talking about the homosexual scandals that are taking place in public schools. I say this, if the Catholic Church is sinning by 5%, the public schools are sinning by 20%. According to one survey in the 1940s, the top school discipline problems were this, and you know what, I was reading this to a guy, and he told me what was in the line. He actually told me before I read it what I was going to tell him. The discipline problems were talking, chewing gum, making noise, running in the halls, getting out of turn in line, oh no, wearing improper clothing and not putting paper in waste paper baskets. By the mid-80s, it was drug and alcohol abuse, suicide, rape, robbery, and assault. Today, the public school perp walk includes gangs, guns, sexting, drugs, and all forms of violence. More than 40% of all births in the land of the free are out of wedlock. According to a 2010 Time magazine survey, 39% believe marriage is now obsolete. More than a third of Americans think marriage is outdated, but liberalism's cause célèbre is gay marriage. In a nation that pioneered the protection of human rights, there are 1 to 2 abortions every minute, thanks to a low birth rate, in part fueled by the failure to form families. We won't have the manpower to fight the future wars. We're going to have to rent the Chinese. By age of 15, I added that. By age 15, 25% of American males and 26% of females have engaged in sexual intercourse. Each year, 19 million new cases of STDs are diagnosed, half among 15 to 26-year-olds, and they're all on their parents' insurance. In the United States, pornography is a $12 billion a year industry, and the government gets a cut. Wait till you see what's coming with weed. The weed industry. Wait till you see the stock market go to 18,000 with the introduction of new cigarettes. Perhaps nothing symbolizes our descent more, and you know what? All our industry are vices. We don't have one steel mill, but how many pawn shops do we have? Perhaps nothing symbolizes our descent more than the so-called knockout game, where black teens attack innocent bystanders, including the elderly, and try to knock them on the ground with one punch, while one of their cheering friends tapes the assault on a cell phone. Do you think if the Russians ever took over this country or the Chinese ever took over this country, where you would be? If you're black, where do you think you're going to be? You're going to be out there doing the knockout game? Yeah, just look around in Russia. Tell me how many black guys are there. Look around in China. Tell me how many black guys are there. You're in trouble. the land of the free will be denied to you and me. The differences between 1941 and 2013 are best illustrated by comparison. We had John Wayne, Jimmy Stewart, and Henry Fonda. They have Matt Damon, Sean Penn, and Jane Fonda. We had John Ford and Frank Capra. They have Oliver Stone and Michael Moore. We had Kate Smith singing God Bless America. They have Lady Gaga singing God Bless Transsexuals. We had swing. They have rap. We had Abbott and Costello and the Marx Brothers. They have Margaret Cho, who urinates on her parents for laughs. Louis C.K. and Larry the Cable Guy. We had Gone with the Wind, The Wizard of Oz, How Green Was My Valley, and Abe Lincoln in Illinois. They have Texas Chainsaw Massacre in 3D, Kick-Ass 2, The Last Exorcism, Nymphomaniac, and Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. I met a kid coming out of school. I said, "Who's Abraham Lincoln?" He said, "He freed the vampires." We had books. They have 60-inch plasma TV, cell phones, and social media. We had conversations, and they tweet. We had to remember Pearl Harbor. They have Islam is the religion of peace. We had Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition. That's a song, by the way. It's a World War II song. It was sung, I think, on a cruiser. And I think the name of the cruiser was the New Orleans. And one of their munitions conveyor belt was knocked out by a bomb or an artillery round. And they had to carry the ammunition up to the deck by passing it from one guy to the other. And that's where the song comes from, Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition. And you know what else it says? We have no time to be a politician. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition and we'll all stay free. And now they want to take your guns away. Well, I never had a gun, so I don't miss what I never had. What happens when they take your freedom away? Well, I never had freedom, so I'll never miss what I never had. No atheists in the foxholes and the four chaplains. That's what they had. We have the ACLU, Americans United for the Separation of Church and State, and America Isn't a Christian Nation Anymore. We had God, Family, and Country. They have sensitivity, multiculturalism, and inclusiveness. The reason that people come to this country is they want the American dream. And part of the American dream is wearing the label, I'm an American. They want to be like an American. We had the 4th of July, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. They have Kwanzaa, Ramadan, and Cinco de Mayo. We produced consumer goods. They've outsourced production while generating a mountain of debt, much of which is owned by our enemies. We had Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. They have a 312-pound, 6-foot-5-inch offensive lineman who quit the Miami Dolphins because he was, poor baby, harassed by a teammate, or so he says. We had Winston Churchill, FDR, MacArthur, Ike, and Patton. They have Obama and his toadies on the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Pentagon is, I call them the Pentagonians. And you know what? This General Dempsey, I never see him in a combat zone. General Dempsey, get out there and lead the men tomorrow. Take the first bullet. Be a man. Yeah, but some things never change. We had a pathetic man waving a meaningless piece of paper saying there will be peace in our time with the savages of Germany. We have a pathetic man waving a meaningless slip of paper telling us he's guaranteed the savages of Iran won't have nuclear weapons for the next 6 months, maybe. Okay, that's unfair. Whatever his failings, Neville Chamberlain loved his country. This guy got him good, man. He really did. He got him good. And thank you, Don Feta, for the wake-up call. Is it too late for us? How many freedoms have you lost that you know about? You have no idea. Little girls can't sell lemonade. Little kids can't sell lemonade without getting arrested. Yeah, because they didn't get a license and pay the VIG to the Communist Party. Let me find a tune. We got to give you a tune that's equal to what Don Feta said, and to say thanks to those guys who gave all their tomorrows so that you and I could sit around and complain about secondhand marijuana. Yeah. We'll give you a wake-up call. This goes back to World War I.
Hi, you boys and girls. This is Captain Boycott. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party book.com. And just wanted to share this little poem with you. My brother sent it to me. He took it off a wall in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And it's a poem about World War I, and it's written by a Canadian officer and doctor, and who had just watched a young man die. And as he officiated at the burial ceremony, which took place almost at the battlefield, he jotted down this poem. And a mailman had come by, a fellow trooper had come by who was delivering the mail, and he read it to him, and they both felt it was... it was a pretty decent poem, and what happened was he didn't think so he crumpled it up and he threw it in a ditch. And somebody picked it up and they sent it to the London Times, who rejected it. But another newspaper picked it up and printed it. And today it's well known throughout the world. And the poem is called In Flanders Fields. And it's a good reminder, as George Patton says, that the war has been going on since the beginning of time, and war will continue to go on until the end of time. In Flanders Fields. In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow. And if you ever seen these little poppies, sometimes outside of churches, veterans sell them to remind you of the losses that we incurred in World War I, along with the Canadians and the British and the Germans, and the French, and that was supposed to be the war to end all wars. In Flanders Fields the poppies blow, between the crosses row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead, short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe, to you from falling hands we throw, the torch be yours to hold it high. If you break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders Fields. So that's from one warrior to another, and you can pass that on through the Spirit of America.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. Let music swell the breeze, and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom.
Let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong.
Who divide us will destroy us. So we have to destroy those who would divide us. I'm looking at an original gift. The Christmas box set contains actual gold, frankincense, and myrrh nestled together in this beautiful collection. It's in a wooden box and it's got little red cloth velvet. And it's a hand-blown gold orb with 23 karat gold flakes that float like snowflakes. And the ball is designed in such a way that it reflects and refracts the gold, making it dance and sparkle. But the other things that are of interest are large tiers of the finest frankincense from the Dhofar region of Oman, an area known as Sheba in biblical times, and said to be the source of the frankincense brought by Balthazar. That's interesting, isn't it? You think of Oman, and that's where the frankincense came from, so possibly that one of the wise men came from that region. Did you know it was an Omani sailor that gave Vasco da Gama the route to India? Did you know that the Sultan of Oman was one of the first to recognize the United States after its fight for independence? And there was something else that they did. It'll come to me. Crystals of authentic Arabian myrrh from the same regions as the original gifts brought to the Christ child. Yes, there was a Christ child. So you can say there was no God, but there was a Christ child. How do you know? Prove it. I'm living proof. Yeah. I'm listening to Bob Grant one day, and the guy calls in. And Bob Grant is the father of mainstream America. And this guy goes, you know, Bob, you know when you're talking amongst people that are your friends and you think everybody is on the same wavelength as you, then all of a sudden you're shocked when somebody challenges you. And this guy goes, you know, Bob, we're all created in the image and likeness of God. And Bob Grant snapped his head off, went, how do you know that? And the guy was stunned. He didn't know what to say. So I sent Bob an email. I said, hey, Bob, I was shopping for a new suit this Saturday, and I was with God, and God tried on a sport jacket, a blazer, and he turned to me and he said, what do you think? Do I look like Bob Grant? So where were we? We're talking about the gifts of the Magi. Okay. And gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Oh, I know what I wanted to tell you. I'm on a crusade. Oh, 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 don't say crusade. You're not allowed to say it. And everybody's going to know you're a Christian, and the Christians are all underground now. They're getting ready to go to the Colosseum. They're going to see their God. Yeah, that's what's coming, man. That's what's coming. Are we going to do ourselves in, or are we going to let somebody else do it to us? How's it going to work out? So, I lost my train of thought now. I was going to tell... Oh, I know what it was. I did a blog, and I said, you know, there's only one way we're going to have peace in the Middle East. Everybody's got to go back to being Christian. Because before the Islamic world started to come out of Saudi Arabia, shouting Allahu Akbar, everybody was Christian. So we got to clean up our act. And the reason is Christianity is the religion of love. Love thy neighbor as thyself. That's what Jesus told us, right? Jesus didn't say, go fight the jihad and cut off their heads. So that's what we got to do. We got to convert start with Egypt. We'll convert Egypt back to Christianity. After all, I mean, Egypt was the sanctuary for Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. When King Herod opened up the first Democrat chop shop and ordered the death of boys 2 years and younger. And I told you the other night a story about the massacre of the Armenians by the Turks and how they had rounded up all the boys of one village and marched them into a building to kill them. And one grandmother threw a dress on one of her grandsons, and he was spared. He lived a long life, and he tells the story of how he survived. Isn't that something? How quick you got to be to think in a matter of a few minutes. So that's what we got to do. We got to convert everybody back to Christianity. And having said that, let me see what the news looks like today. Al Franken is now vulnerable for defeat. Thank God. Life News, Pro-Life News Report. Save the kids. You go to YouTube. There's two videos up there. One is called Save the Kids, and the other one is called Abortion is Murder. It's only a fetus. I saw an article today. It said, you know, why should I carry this child for 9 months? I already broke up with the guy, and just because he wants the baby, why should I give up 9 good months? Isn't that wonderful? Oh, isn't that wonderful? Yes, don't even have 9 months worth of compassion, huh? What do you do when you see a dog? Do you pet it? Yeah, I pet it because it could bite me. Yeah, life news, pro-life news. You want to hear the pro-life news? Okay, being that you're pro-life. Unfortunately, here's the top stories. Nelson Mandela signed a law legalizing unlimited abortions. Yeah, and the Americans came right in, right, and opened up planned slaughterhood. Mother escapes forced abortion by jumping out of abortion clinic window. Martin Luther King Jr.'s niece remembers Nelson Mandela. Oh, did you hear about Belgium? They're considering euthanasia for children. And mom talks it up to a 10-year-old son. You know, there used to be a comedy show, the Benny Hill Show, and Benny was dressed as a woman, and he was sitting in an abortion clinic. And the interviewer said, well, how old is the fetus? And she looked at a guy, a teenager, and said, 16 years. You know what? There's a lot of parents that would consider abortion for teenagers. Pope Francis recommended by Argentinian leaders for the Nobel Peace Prize. ABC warns viewers, caution, your employer might be pro-life. How's that? ABC, always be communist. Obama denies IRS ever targeted pro-life groups. Oh, yeah. Well, I believe Obama because he never tells a lie. Foster girls adopted after prayer balloon flies across the country. bishops call Catholics to pray fast as health and human services mandate is challenged at the Supreme Court. Survivor of China's one-child policy begs Biden for father's release from prison. Yeah, you're forgotten already, honey. He's on his way back. Mentoring program helps parents of kids diagnosed with Down syndrome choose life. You know, we were fortunate enough to have a relative who had two boys and a girl, and the girl had spina bifida, and they were told that the girl wouldn't live more than 10 years and that she should have an abortion. But she couldn't do it because she was the daughter of God. And they raised that girl. And the two kids, I never saw so much love and affection for a sister than I did for those two boys. And what a credit to our Creator that those kids made that the life of that girl so happy. And how are you going to kill somebody that smiles? How are you going to kill somebody that says, I love you, Mommy? Friends may forsake you. Yeah. How are you going to do that? Maybe you should have to kill that child. Maybe you should have that child and raise it to two or three, and then you can kill it. There should be a law that says you can kill it at 3 years old. Kill him or kill her at 3 years old. See if you could do that. Survivor, I said that. Mentoring program, delivery man. What would you do if you were the father of 533 children? Rand Paul will run for president. His wife signs off on it. Pro-life students brave cold temperatures to pray to end abortion. Oh, I seen one today you wouldn't believe. You could probably find it if you Google it. It was in Argentina, the homeland of the Pope. In Argentina, 17,000 women, and I don't think they're all from Argentina. It's an organization, you know, pro-choice, pro-six-sex marriage. They attacked the church. They were going to desecrate the church. And they were bare-breasted, and they had Nazi swastikas painted on their breasts. And the church was protected by young guys. And they just locked their arms so that these women couldn't get through. And the women had spray paint, and they were spraying the lower part of their pants with the black spray paint, and they were spitting on them, and they were trying to break the chain. And the guys, I swear to God, they looked up to heaven. They prayed. They were all saying the same prayer, and they were like a mighty link, and they wouldn't let them get in to desecrate the church. It was beautiful. And what was sad, there were 17,000 women were like pigs. They were like animals, the devil's disciples. If you want to see the devil, you got to see this. You got to see this. St. Nicholas, the protector of children and precursor to Santa Claus. NARAL complains its members are apathetic about promoting abortion. Abortion is murder, man. You can call it anything you want, terminating a fetus. Let me tell you, when the sperm penetrates the egg and the soul is there with the catcher's mitt, that is jackpot. That is three Liberty Bells straight across. And if you think the founding fathers would ever vote to exterminate the unborn, you're crazy. So, and Africa's got a lot of problems. They're showing the good side of Nelson Mandela. But Africa's got a lot of problems. Why would Fidel Castro send Cuban troops there to kill blacks? What is going on? Okay, so we're going to pass on the unplanned parenthood. Why Sharpton and Jackson are silent on the knockout game? There's no money in it. See how I answered that question? Truth about Mandela overlooked. The only one that said anything bad about Mandela was Joe Farah. He came out and he said some bad things about Mandela. And I confirmed it all with Jimmy from Brooklyn. And Jimmy from Brooklyn also said bad things about Mandela. And what it is they're making communism look good. That's what Jimmy said. They're making communism look good. So here's what this one person said. His name is Alex Newman. 626 people like this. Be the first of your friends. With the widely anticipated passing of South African revolutionary leader, and you know, Obama went there already. He thought Mandela would have been dead last when he went there. He was getting ready to have his picture taken with Mandela in his arms. So he took an aircraft carrier out of the defense of the United States. And, you know, with an aircraft carrier goes a protective group, you know, a submarine or two, some cruisers or some tin cans. You know, he took a whole battle group out of action to go on a safari. And then he went, is Mandela dead yet? I got the cameras here. I'm ready. No, he's still alive, Mr. President. Well, we'll have to come back for the funeral then. So, as well as everyday people and especially the press, presidents and dictators from around the world are all in mourning. Lost amid the tsunami of praise and adoration, almost canonization, even according to some of his supporters, however, is the truth about the man himself, who was, after all, still just a man. The announcement of Mandela's death was made by the current president, Jacob Zuma, the fourth leader of the so-called Rainbow Nation, ushered in after the fall of apartheid rule some two decades ago. Our beloved Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela, the founding president of our democratic nation, has departed, said Zuma, a polygamous tribal chief who, amid never-ending corruption scandals, regularly sings struggle songs about murdering European descent Afrikaners. According to the, you know what's really sad? You look at South Africa. South Africa is diamonds and gold. How come they can't feed their people? According to the current South African president, Mandela passed on peacefully in the company of his family late Thursday. He is now resting. He is now at peace, as Zuma continued, adding that the deceased leader would receive a state funeral and flags would be flown at half-mast. Our nation has lost its greatest son. Our people have lost a father. Although we knew that this day would come, nothing can diminish our sense of profound and enduring loss. And then there's an ad for top dental plans. Like heads of state and the media around the world, Zuma celebrated Mandela's alleged tireless struggle for freedom and how he brought us together in common cause. Our thoughts are with his friends, comrades, and colleagues who fought alongside Madiba over the course of a lifetime to struggle. South Africa's current president continued, offering the briefest glimpses of the reality of Mandela. President Obama said he paid a tribute to Mandela for about a minute, and then he did 2 minutes of I, it's all about me once again. So he even ordered American flags flown at half-mast. Yeah. But he really didn't want to face the four bodies that came home from Benghazi. He had to do it. Yeah, but he wasn't there when those four bodies were alive. He wasn't standing by the phone to take their call. No. I never got that. Nobody ever told me. The most uninformed president in the history of the United States. I call him the bird flipper. He flips the bird at everything that's American. Especially shocking when considering that the late leader and his Soviet-backed armed movement spent decades on the official U.S. government terror list before being removed during the reign of Osama bin Laden. I am one of the countless millions who drew inspirations from Nelson Mandela's life, Obama said. I cannot fully imagine my own life. See, there's the eyes. There's two eyes right there. I cannot fully imagine my own life with the example that Nelson Mandela set. So long as I live, I will do what I can to learn from him. There's five eyes in one paragraph. By contrast, even that's, he sounds worse than Savage, who's going to replace Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about how I've mastered everything. It's not about me. But in case you didn't know, yeah, give me a break, man. By contrast, even in the late 1980s, shortly before the apartheid regime surrendered to overwhelming global pressure to hand over power, Western leaders saw Mandela and his African National Congress in a very different light. The ANC is a typical terrorist organization, explained former British Minister Margaret Thatcher. U.S. President Ronald Reagan put Mandela and the ANC under a terror list. Indeed, outside of open support for ruthless communist dictatorships, the tyrants ruling over Cuba, East Germany, and the Soviet Union, for example, Mandela's ANC and its South African Communist Party partners were widely viewed as ruthless communist terrorists, considering their murderous activities, which included the barbaric execution and torture of countless South African blacks who opposed them. It is easy to understand why. With help from elements of the Western establishment and the media. However, all that gradually changed. Widely adored in South Africa and around the world today, Mandela is almost universally portrayed as a peaceful hero who struggled to bring down the white-led apartheid regime that ruled the area for decades, all in the name of democracy, equality, and racial harmony. Lost amid the cacophony of praise and near worship, though, is the truth. So here comes the truth about the late South African leader, which has all been but erased from the planet's collective memory. Today, for example, endless amounts of news reports on Mandela's death continue to falsely suggest that he was a political prisoner jailed for his beliefs in opposition to the system of apartheid, meaning separate development, which, despite its myriad laws, was working to grant full independence and sovereignty to the various tribal and ethnic groups of South Africa. A mere handful of articles has offered even a hint of the truth. In reality, the Soviet-backed revolutionary was imprisoned for terrorism, sedition, and sabotage. An integral part of Mandela's long communist history that his adoring fans tend to downplay at best or more often ignore altogether. Almost none of the adoring eulogies pouring forth from around the world have noted, for example, that Mandela was offered a chance to walk out of prison a free man if he would renounce violence, and he refused. Instead of a man of peace, as his legions of fans would like to believe, and in many cases do believe, he was actually the co-founder of the armed wing of the ANC, known as the Umkhonto weSizwe, Spear of the Nation. Outside of communist dictatorships, virtually every government recognized the movement as a communist-backed terrorist outfit. It was, after all, famous for murder, torture, bombing, sabotage, and more recently, as the New American reported, conclusive evidence confirming Mandela's senior role in the Soviet-backed South African Communist Party has been widely published. This is the one that got me. Meanwhile, Mandela's wife, during much of that time, fellow ANC revolutionary Winnie, was a zealous and open advocate for one of the most brutal murder tactics ever conceived by man, pioneered by the ANC. It's called necklacing. It involves filling a tire with gasoline before putting it around the victim's neck, setting it ablaze, and watching the poor target slowly writhe in horrifying agony before eventual death. The British used to do this to the Irish in the 1700s. It was called pitch capping. They would put them in a barrel and cover their head with tar and light it. Most of the ANC's necklace of victims were fellow blacks. That is information for me on the Irish situation. And there's a song called Boulevogue. It's an Irish song about a priest named Father Michael Murphy and what they did to him. In the song, they say they burned his body upon the rack, but he was put in a barrel, and his head was covered with tar. What a terrible way to go. You know who does those medieval practices today? Muslims. Muslims do that. Yes, they do, and they do it in Africa. They nail Christian boys to wooden chairs. How would you like to be nailed to a chair? Can you imagine what they do to women? Unsurprisingly, Mandela's history of violence, brutality, terror, and communist scheming has scarcely been mentioned in the thousands of obituaries currently on the front pages of newspapers around the world. You know what that tells you? Communism is winning and we are losing. And you'll know it when they have to go military. That'll be the last assault. Up until they go military, it'll all be sweetness. And then one day they'll go hard line. And you'll be taken from your house and executed. Well, that'll never happen in the United States. We're the land of the free and the home of the brave. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for holding up your end. Which earned him praise around the world. Let's see. As if genocide was the obvious course that history would have inevitably taken absent a figure like Mandela. Well, we all know pitch capping, necklacing, as the modern-day necklacing. It is ironic that in today's South Africa there's increasingly a vocal segment of black South Africans who feel that Mandela sold out the liberation struggle to white interests. Claims Ohio University professor Zakes Minda, who knew Mandela, in the Times column. This will come as a surprise to the international community, which informally canonized him and thinks he enjoyed universal adoration in his country, as the Times piece suggests. Let me tell you something. The New York Times is only good for birdcage liner. Even more extremist, anti-white, racist, and Marxist forces are gathering momentum. All of that, however, has been largely covered amid news of Mandela's death. As we gather, whatever we are in the country and wherever we are in the world, let us recall the values of which Mandela fought, said Zuma. Acquitted of rape charges in 2006 by claiming that his victim was wearing a kanga and so clearly wanted to have sex with him, Zuma has been steadily following in the footsteps of his communist-affiliated predecessors. With the economy crumbling and violence exploding, Zuma and his allies continue to publicly sing struggle songs inciting genocide against the white population. Meanwhile, the ANC Communist Party alliance that has ruled South Africa since the end of apartheid is steadily working to foist tyranny and lawlessness on what was once the most prosperous countries, one of the most, in the world. The planet's top authority on genocide, a man who worked to help bring down apartheid in South Africa, has even warned that the Afrikaners may be on the verge of literal extermination. While a largely bogus public image creating of Mandela certainly has some praiseworthy elements, opposition to racism, violence, and support for human rights, for example, it is important that reality not be overlooked, as senior editor William Jasper with the New American magazine wrote a detailed piece on the real Nelson Mandela under the headline, Saint Mandela, Not So Fast. If the truth is worth anything, Americans should resist the temptation to worship a fake caricature of a leader who was, after all, still just a man. And a final chapter on South Africa has not been written yet, but things don't look good. That was sort of a long and windy piece. I apologize. I thought it would be shorter. Hang in there. We're going to look for a tune and check the time. I think we're out of time. Go to the studio. We're out of time. I overran my schedule. Not a problem. We'll close with a tune. That would be nice, wouldn't it? It's a four-minute tune. I want to find you something. You know what? Being that it's cold and chilly tonight.
One summer night.